Time to kick it into gear on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show on the National Hour. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in PJ Stock. He's almost Doug McClain-like, where you just start him, and then we can go for a coffee or, you know, grab a bite to eat.
Also really fire any direction. Pick a team, pick a topic, and they've got an opinion, which I enjoy, so looking forward to having him on. He's been very busy with Beer League hockey, but we did get him today.
Is that what
Thanks,
he said?
Peach.
Or are we just assuming?
No, he said the one day he couldn't come on because he was playing Beer League hockey. So.
Okay, that's a good reason, isn't it?
It is, legit.
It is, but would you play Beer League, either of you guys?
I do not.
That doesn't seem like a place for a former pro hockey player.
I gotta be honest with you, the older I get, the more my Thursday mornings feel Beer League-ish.
Yeah, it's not.
For me, anyways.
But there's no refs out there not playing against some guys from North York.
No.
Yeah.
You need to find out if that's what Peach is doing.
That's
or
what
not.
I do. Anyways.
Tons to get into, including the Vancouver Canucks, who lost again last night to Vegas. And this one, was out of reach early.
It was. Kind of a little bit of a stumble here for the Canucks. They've lost to Vegas, Dallas, and L.A. in the past week. You know, those are good hockey teams I just named. They're not exactly dusters. So, I don't know. Are we worried about the Canucks a little bit?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's worried meaning if they lose in the first round, it means that it's a horrible season or...
It'd be a disappointment at this point, Kip.
Well, yeah. I get, but think about where you thought you sat in September with this hockey club, and I don't expect them to go down quietly in the first round, but if they were to lose, I think the only way that you could actually feel good if you're a Vancouver Canuck fan is if you saw them go down with a true fight.
Nobly.
Well, I mean, they're going, if the playoffs started today, they got Nashville.
Yeah, they're going to have 110-plus points this season in all likelihood. If they lose to the Nashville Predators in round one, I'm calling it a disappointment, maybe a failure.
Well, I mean, listen, there's a ton of Vancouver fans listening in their cars right now, driving around being like, we're not going to sit. Hey, it was a good year. We thought we were going to suck.
Yeah, I know where they came from. I know.
Yes.
It is a success in the progress of the team and all that. I get it. But, I mean, we're talking, they're ahead of the Oilers. They're ahead of the best teams right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to think it's okay to just go away quietly.
We have a clip from Tocchet talking postgame. Do you want to hear that?
I'd love to hear it. The head coach of the Vancouver Canucks, Rick Tocchet.
Clip. It's in there somewhere.
Rick Tocchet.
Rick Tocchet, the coach.
I think he's on a bathroom break.
Okay. Anyways, he was talking. I can't really remember what he said.
Must have been memorable.
No, it was a good clip.
He's a good quote. What are you talking about? I can't remember. Was there any sense of we're running out of time here to turn this thing around at all?
Kind of. That was the question. That we got to get it turned in the right direction in a hurry sort of thing.
They just need their goalie back too.
Well, that's a huge part of this.
It is.
I mean, he's one of the best goalies in the league. He's one of the Vezina favorites for a while. It's just, you need him in between the pipes. So, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, the other concerning thing is that Vegas really is coming on strong. I mean, they are starting to find their form, and they're looking as legit as they come. So let's get to Peach.
All right. Fresh off his run with the beer leagues. Let's welcome in PJ Stock, former NHLer, Habs, Bruins, Flyers, Rangers, and the true star of Hockey Night in Canada once upon a time.
Once upon a time. Just good old days.
You keep in touch. Do you would Elliot Friedman be like a pen pal with you? Do you guys write to each other?
Yeah, they kind of. It's now I got to go through with all the new layers of people running and stuff. There, you got to go through certain people to get to Elliot. You know, Elliot saw him the other night. I think he was on the way to take his yacht in his outfit that he was in with the pink jacket.
is Elliot now one of those guys that takes a picture of himself and posts it on Instagram? Is he turned into that guy?
I hope so.
Then
it took a long time to get him to that. Do you guys know, you guys remember, by the way, how social media is right now compared to when we first started and it was just Twitter? And just like there were so many people that thought they could say anything to any of us, and just with no faces and having like an egg as their avatar. Yeah,
they still can.
They still can, but I think our skin is thicker now, right? I think you go through the initial shock of like, how could someone say, I'm just up here, you know, giving you what I think, and I'm trying to be fair to everyone. And when I was on, I never really knocked anything besides work ethic, because I can't tell you how someone's missing a shot or if some guys, I can tell you why this guy's cheating or how this play broke down and why, but that's kind of what I had. And there's still some people that I'd say something about Kovalev, who was playing for the Canadiens at the time, or don't want to bring the Vancouver Canucks people into this because they go absolutely crazy. But you say anything about a fan base, and you're saying it in a certain way just to be honest, and this is what you saw, and this is what you're paid for, they would send the meanest of tweets about, I can't swear, but I have some great ones that are just like, and when it got to a point like where people would say things to some of us on with Elliot and Kelly back in the day, Glenn Healy, and just everyone, Kipper, you and Marnie, and this, people would think they could just, we're in a world where people can just feel like they can say whatever they want to us. Now our skin's a little thicker. Now we laugh at it and we're like, oh, this is a good one. That's pretty funny.
JB, you showed me a doozy one today.
Yeah, I showed one yesterday. Like, I'd said something about Nylander and someone called me a drunk ECHLer. And I was like, yeah, this is just the world I live in. But yeah, you come to like expect that this is just my new normal now.
You know, it used to be, I don't think some of my bosses really understood this back in the day, is that if people are willing to take the time out of their day, mm-hmm, to send a mean tweet to you, that's almost more important than the person that's going to send a nice one. Because if they're so built up that they're spending the time and energy, and they're like, they're reaching out. Like, that's, you've touched them to a certain point. I think, you know, bosses think you're like, oh no, you can't say anything bad about the Toronto Maple Leafs, because then, you know, they're going to think differently, and we got to be. So no, sometimes you just got to throw it out there. And if someone's going to be like, I can't believe you said that about Nylander, I'm going to send this tweet. What does that guy get out of that tweet? Really?
It's like taking hot air out of a balloon, right? They can't yell at their boss. They can't yell at their spouse. They can't yell at their kids. It's you, my friend.
I know, but it's great.
That's the purpose we serve, then so be it.
But if you're able to get a reaction from someone, that's a win. If you're able to like influence the way the rest of their day is, positive or negatively, I mean, that's life. That's reality. I think that's a win. I think, I listen to you guys, Born, like, you're the brains to this every day. And you're on with Kipper, right? And sometimes you got to deal with Kipperness. and like, you're like, oh, how am I going to do this? And you go home, you're going to write him something. But I think that's what it is. And I was, I can only imagine what you guys are, what the Leafs are, which there always are. It's going to be, you know, we're, mm-hmm, big game tonight against Tampa. I watched them play the other night. You know, who's going to win the MVP this year? There's so many discussions out of Toronto, and if you say anything kind of the wrong way, it's strong-minded fan bases, which isn't afraid to tell you what they think.
Well, quickly then, go ahead.
No, you.
I'll get your thoughts on, you know, the fan base in Montreal is also strong-willed, if you will, and can be very vocal. The Habs are kind of winning. Like, they are on a good little run. Slafkovsky's become like a guy. Where are things in Montreal? We don't check in often, but we're checking in again to see where things are.
No, we don't check in at all, except when you're on.
You know, there's no paying the bills. I dusted the pictures in the back. I keep dusting them every week waiting for the call back. But my Habs stink right now, except for the time when they should not be playing well.
Right.
They're playing well, and it's kind of stuck. And I was a little frustrated last night, especially. You know, they had 10 minutes of power play ice time. Their first power play played 8.5 minutes of it. Like, and not only that, at 5-2, they put them, with 3 minutes left, they put them back on the ice for another power play. Matheson, in a game where you want to lose, but you want to win. I think there's so important in the phase of building structure and a basis. And if we're going to lose, we're going to lose the right way and playing the right way. And you guys know all those important foundations for a team to be successful. And some of them are small, and a lot of people just think of the wins, but it's not. There's so many of the little things that are important underneath that get you to that top part. And I don't like the way some nights go. Like, Matheson played almost 30 minutes last night.
Jeez.
Like, he played 28-43, I think, in a night against Florida where you want to win, but at the same time, organizationally, you kind of want to lose. But you're missing an opportunity. They were shorthanded, I think, 6 minutes, maybe more than that. But Arber Jacka, I think, was played 17 seconds, something like that, of shorthanded time. These are moments that you can't get back of learning for some of these young kids. Because if you make the mistake, you can come back to the bench, and then it's a learning. It's a lesson. But it's hard to digest the lesson just by watching it. You have to be in it sometimes. And I think they're valuable minutes. Like Matheson, I'm going to be off in the seconds, played 8 minutes of power play time, 4+ minutes of penalty killing time. At 30 minutes he played, so 28, 40 something. Yeah. Jack guy played 17 seconds of those are, he's going to grow into be your 5-6 killing penalty killer shot blocker. Yeah. These are the moments where you develop, you learn, you experience, you make the mistakes, you come back to the bench and the coach is like, hey, it's all right, kiddo. Let's get back out there. You know, just you learn from that, build that confidence, and it's okay for the next shift. Where if it happens in a real pivotal game and you can't put them back out there because you're nervous, you're not sure how the kid's going to react, that's kind of, we're losing those moments. So fan base in Montreal is really excited. They won last night and they showed some great things. Slavkovsky, again, great point. Suzuki, over 70 points. First one since Domi did it about 5 years ago on his crazy year that he had. But the top players are having their great moments, so the fans are excited. I just love to see people off that top line have success because that's going to be the future of the team as well.
Okay, let's just, Mona, just stay one more on the fan base because the patience that they've shown this organization is nothing short of miraculous, especially when we're talking about the storied franchise in the history of the NHL.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got to stop you.
Why?
You're seriously talking about the Habs were in the Stanley Cup final like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. They had two bad years. And by bad years, they finished last, got first overall pick. Their first overall pick that everyone thought was a terrible pick just broke a record for the youngest 19-year-old, 20 and under player consistently to have points in 9 games. It's 2 years they haven't had a lot of fun.
No. This is 2 years of the longest stretch in the history of the organization that nobody cared about the Montreal Canadiens. Nobody thinks twice
You're
about
in
the
Toronto,
for 2 years.
Not caring.
Listen
I've been
to me.
Sitting here in my basement waiting for you for me to tell you about the Habs that are right up here. About there's lots of good things.
I'm telling you, but from a league-wise perspective, it's no different than putting the New York Yankees like don't try not, not talking about the New York Yankees league-wide for 2 years. Okay, that's the equivalent to what the fans are going through in Montreal. They are irrelevant in the big picture of the NHL while they wait quietly to get their team back to respectability. I'm asking you when the patience do end. When do they go, now we're back, we demand a playoff spot?
It's been 2 years.
Does two become three?
The new organization has been there 2 years. They went to the Stanley Cup final a couple years. When was the last time the Leafs go to the Stanley Cup final?
Like, don't if I'm do anything, this, PJ.
I'm just saying.
Don't do this.
I'm just saying it's 2 years. If anyone is going to be saying anything, I can't believe you guys still do this. I deserve, you guys deserve an award.
The like Yankees, the Lakers, the Montreal Canadiens should never sit at the bottom of any pile.
They won't. They are for a couple little salary cap has changed
couple
the way things
little
work
years.
In sports. Yeah, but it's a couple years. A salary cap has to come in, revamp, and go change back up. I think Kent Hughes, Jeff Gordon, the team has come in and decided, listen, Mark Bergevin gave out some contracts at the tail end of his run here that I think really set the team back. And if this was any other time, you can easily flush those contracts, put them in the minors, do whatever you want with. They lost Shea Weber to injury, Carey Price to injury. They had off-ice issues with Jonathan Drouin at the tail end. They've had all kinds of issues that they can't actually control. They decided to change their coach, change their organization. And with 2 years, they picked up a first-round pick, first overall, that has rewritten history for the Montreal Canadiens for a 20-younger guy, which is making them look great. They just signed a goalie that just got player of the month for the team. They just have another guy that had one of the most saves, stolen games or saves, I forget the stat, in the National Hockey League for the Canadiens. They have a younger goalie who just set a record for BC in nets as well. That's just on there. Their back end, Ryan Becker has come over from Europe. He's been great. Goulet's been sensational. Matheson's having a great year. Arbor Jack Ice turned heads last year's. They're all new kids, 20 or younger. Up front, they got Slepkoski, the young kid. Suzuki's at 70 points. Caulfield struggling this year, but still in the 50s in points. There's a lot of good things.
Are they making the playoffs next year?
That's the question.
Eventually got there.
Let's talk about it next year.
Yes, let's.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Well, I have a question, though. If they make the playoffs and lose in one round, is that a win?
100% it is. To now if crack a top 16 in this league, it's an accomplishment. Yeah. It's a good regular season, man. It's good 82 games.
It is interesting with, you know, so many teams, what they set their goals at and what they, and this is what we started off with. The Canadians, the coach, Marty St. Louis, he just wants to win. So he's playing Matheson 30 minutes. He's playing his number one power play. The organization wants them to
play. They need to put Marty in the press box like they did Torts at the end of last year.
Yes, they do, because they want a better draft pick. They need another Slepkoski. They need another player that can be impactful, because of they got rid of so many players over years. There's nothing in Laval, and no disrespect to the players there. There's not players that can make that jump to Montreal just quickly. You know, they have a young player, Jonathan Roy, who's one of the only guys, but they wanted to send him back to Laval because they want Laval to make the playoffs. If Montreal's done, 8 games left. So when they're done, their season's done. But there's this opportunity in Laval that they can play 20 more games, and that's where this organization is. They're building from their base and has to create that in Laval, and it comes with games that mean something. The Canadians have been out of it for 2 years, to Kipper's point, rah-rah, and they're 2 years of out where they're playing in no games with meaning. So it's easy to get points. It's easy to cheat offensively. It's when you're playing in games where I can't make this play, I got to block this shot, I got to back check harder. And if I don't, I think that's the part of the culture that's important. It's about losing the right way, building these blocks of how you're playing. And it starts through the entire organization. For the first time, Kipper, in your point and your argument, which I disagree with, the fan base understands what had to be done.
Yeah.
And I think they do have the support, because the Montreal Canadiens, in their losses, 85% to 90% of them, they've gone down swinging.
Well, they're going to finish the season in the low 70s in points. The cutoff for playoffs this year is 90. 90 points likely gets you into the playoffs. There are 5 teams tripping all over their untied shoelaces trying to get to that finish line. Are you watching this absolute snail race to the Stanley Cup playoffs? What are your thoughts? You like Philly with Tortorella yelling at his team? You like minus 40 goal differential caps? Who you got?
It's interesting, the Tortorella thing for me. I like Torts, but at times I don't like Torts. And we all, he just has us all kind of stuck, right? And, you know, when they lose, it's never a compliment to the other team. It's always something like a fault somewhere, right? And it's hard, because you hear so many players say so many great things about him, and I want to like him so much, but when he did what he was going to do, to Couturier, it was going to go two ways. You know, the shock value was going to work, but how long would it last? And unfortunately, I think it's kind of that in the locker room. I don't know. You knew it was going to go one of the two ways, and it's unfortunately 5 losses in a row for a team that, if they're in, he's up there for Jack Adams. Like, that's the Tort effect. Like, you want him to do well. At the same time, you're like, oh, why'd you do that? So
Jack Adams are getting fired, one of the two.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what you have to do, right? I don't know if that room can continue with Couturier and Torts over the summer, and that's been kind of his MO. He gets you to the top, and then some people don't love the way you got to the top. And it's not fair, but that's kind of the world we live in. You know, Patrick Waugh for the Islanders, they bring him in. There's a team that's kind of they're a little older. They want to kind of get there. And I don't know if they have the pieces. And I don't think Detroit wanted to get to as close as to where they are just yet. But Stevie Y has turned that into a competitive team right away. So I'd love to see Pittsburgh in there just to give Crosby his for the year that he's had. At the same time, I'm not a fan of the Erik Karlsson signing and what they're trying to do with that as well and getting rid of Gensel. I don't care who makes it in. It's going to be a quick series, I think, if they have to play one of the teams at the top.
Yes, sir.
Coming off a tough loss in Vegas, the Vancouver Canucks are in Arizona tonight. I think you hope an easier 2 points to get them back on track here. But prior to you coming on, PJ, we're having conversation on success or disappointment. I don't know. Getting out of the first round for Vancouver. Where does it sit with you?
First of all, the teams that this is the machine of the West. You guys mentioned the teams that they lost to. Whether it's Dallas, whether it's Vegas, whether it's a tough conference. Like the teams at the top are machines, and teams even at the bottom, LA's just holding on there. And I don't think you want to get stuck with them. Nashville, ripped off 10, 11, 12 games in a row there. It's a real tough conference. I think Colorado, Vancouver, I mean, it's okay. Well, that's 6 games left this year, 7 games left. They're still there. It's just they got to start getting back to playing the right way. Do they have the grit for the playoffs at their star-level players? Is Pettersson good for 4 rounds? Is Hughes good for 4 rounds? Are some of those star players that aren't built as big as some of the, as thick as a Crosby, as a Carpentier, as an Ovechkin, as a McKinnon, are they capable to make this run and understand what you got to go through to get there? I'd love to see that organization have a pretty good run. I love what they've done, and I love what the coach has stood for all year.
Yeah. So they're stumbling a little bit, but still have it's been a good year. They've still got a lot of pieces. The Jets are also stumbling a little bit. Does that leave Edmonton as Canada's best hope in a Stanley Cup this year? They're going to draw right now. It's Vegas, which is not a fortuitous bounce.
I think any one of those teams in the West is I like all of them.
Yeah.
More or less. They're built playoff-wise, right? I think they're all kind of thick. It's funny. You guys eliminated Toronto from that, which is, I can't believe that. I wonder if the bosses are going to call you guys.
I'm just going to say. We have a whole hour we dedicate to that conversation.
Okay. But I think they got to beat each other up. I mean, that's the problem. And my concern for Edmonton is they are a little dirtier. They are a little bit grittier, but are they gritty enough for 4 rounds of these playoffs? And McDavid has had a better year. I thought they picked up some. There's a high flying offensive McDavid, which everyone loves. It's just fun. It's like watching a Top Gun movie. It's just so fun.
Yeah.
But that doesn't win in the playoffs, and that's the part that you need. If he's going to still play that way, which he's changed it up a lot lately, everyone else's supporting cast has to be ready to help fill in those voids. So I don't know. I think Winnipeg is almost built a little bit more because you start off, goalie's going to steal you a game, maybe two. I think of the goalies, I think I'd give Hellebuck the nod, I guess. I think is Connor and the top end talent, which gets their offensive calls in the regular season, going to get them in the playoffs? Every round that we all know, it gets a little bit more rugby-ish. And are they able to get there? And that was my concern about the top players in Vancouver. So if Winnipeg gets in there, I think they can make a splash just by how thick they are and how big they are. And I think, you know, a Sean Monahan type of nothing flashy, but that's how a playoff player is going to be. There's going to be small spaces, not a lot of run and gun. It's going to be ugly. And I think Winnipeg, because of Hellebuck, can make a pretty good splash. But it's a great year for the West. Winnipeg, Edmonton, Vancouver, fortunately got to knock each other out to get to the top.
You just saw Florida, are they in a bit of trouble here?
Well, missing, you know, they're missing Kachuk. Missing Kachuk, I think, what's his name, went down last night as well on defense.
Ekblad.
First round pick. And Ekblad went down. They're a team that, you know, at the top of everything, they're almost top in almost defensive category. And last night was just not their night. They played the night before against you guys in Toronto, and I thought they got down early and they fought back. And then they came into Montreal and just nothing was going well. And they just decided, like, listen, we're win or lose this game. We are where we are. They even had a couple minutes left to go in the game. They could have pulled the goalie and they didn't. They just kind of said, let's take our lumps. Let's, you know, we're missing some bodies tonight. There's no use pushing the envelope for something that if we get the point or don't get the point, we're pretty much in the spot that we're in.
Yeah.
Let's just take this as a lesson, get on the plane, go home and recoup for the next game. So I actually quite, I'm thinking to myself, why aren't they doing this? And you take 2 seconds and it's the bigger picture. The bigger picture starts in a couple of weeks. And I actually appreciated it after. And I also, this is just me, and I said this before, the Canadians were up 5-2. They had 3 minutes left, and they had like 10 and a half minutes of power play, and their number one power play played about 8 minutes. You know, it's kind of at 5-2, do you have to put them back on the ice? Like, it's almost a little bit of a kick in the I don't know what you guys are allowed to say, shin. So what do? Florida's like, you know what? We don't care.
Yeah.
And they just started slashing guys. They just started like, hey, you want Matheson at 30 minutes to carry the puck up the ice? How's this on your hands? Bump. You know, and that's kind of, there's lessons for everyone in there. I think there's a little bit of a lesson for Montreal there. I like Florida's response. At the end of the day, they are built for the, as I mentioned, the teams out west, they're built for a 2-month grind. They're built for a 2-month grind. And that's, you know, as I'm making odds here with our Quebec lottery system, guys, how am I? Because Florida, as of right now, is going to start off against the Leafs. And how they, it was a great game. Matthews on fire. Things were clicking. If this is going 7 today, are we confident that Toronto has a chance to pull out of it?
I don't think you are.
Well, first of all, I'm just grateful when you spoke of the Toronto Maple Leafs a second ago, you didn't refer to us as you guys.
Yeah, he did. We,
you know,
a couple
I just
times.
Want to remind you that we don't play on the team. We're not actually members of the team.
Why?
I get reminded that sometimes.
I'm going to Twitter the moment this thing's done, and I'm going to let you guys know. I'm the guy with the egg, by the way. That's going to say guys.
JP Stock with the tweets.
Our skin got
on.
Much thicker after talking to you today, for sure.
I'm here to help, guys. Anything I can help.
Buddy,
by the way, if anyone has to tweet me, it's Elliot_Friedman at sportsnet.ca. Let me know your thoughts.
We'll pass that along.
Awesome stuff, Peach.
Thanks, PJ. Awesome. Appreciate your time, man.
All right, buddy.
Talk as always.
PJ Stock out of Montreal. We spoke Montreal Canadiens today.
We did. And
loved the convo.
For first time in like a long time.
It
and my
good.
Point is we got to get back this story franchise to the point where they're
Want the
relevant
Canadians
again.
To matter. For
have
sure.
to matter.
Yeah, it's just
they are the like the New York Yankees. You cannot just sit and watch.
But he's right. You have to bottom
franchise.
Out to get to matter again. And so they bottomed out.
Why? Why do you have to?
Oh, well, at least they bottomed out. They get Matthews, and all of a sudden they can
Rangers.
Play
Rangers
again.
Didn't bottom out, and they're the number one team in the league.
They're an anomaly, though. I mean, look at the Blackhawks or the Penguins and how they won their cups on the back of number one picks. That
everybody can stay on the backs of number one picks, even in the. Non-cap era.
Not your Rangers. Yeah, not your Rangers. Lafreniere. There's one.
They can always put their feet up at night and put their little nightcap on and have a little, you know, a little sip of something cold and just say that they beat the Leafs, come back 3-1 when they were heavily underdog and they went to the final. Like, that's something they'll always have. They get, even if they suck for another year
also
or whatever.
24 cups or something
well,
like that.
Well, I mean,
that.
Yeah. But that, I mean, it's been 30 years since any Canadian team's won the cup. It's almost like it's never happened. It's been so long.
Yeah.
But that really does burn. Mm-hmm. And I know that, like, I have a couple Habs fans, buddies, you know, that they don't let me forget.
Yeah.
Right? It's a big thing. So, anyways, they'll always have that.
Good to talk, Habs.
Game time after the break.
You got her, Kipper.
All right. And then we return, like,
more torts.
Oh, man.
Torts,
taxes, and torts.
That's the way Torts likes it.
Yeah. Guaranteed on this show. All right. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Stanley McKee. Back. So I just want to pick up a little bit off of our conversation with PJ Stock, which I absolutely loved.
Yes, me too.
Wish he wouldn't play so much beer league hockey so he can come on our show a little more often.
Like anyone who will yell at you.
But he's really in that kind of Doug McClain kind of realm where it's like, I don't know what he's going
to
say.
That's your highest compliment to give people.
Really?
As a guest, to me.
Yes.
If I ask you who you want to get on the show, someone you're not sure about is your favorite.
But and I totally get what he's saying on the Montreal Canadiens. Be patient. You're grooming these kids. You know, Nick Suzuki's going to be the captain for the next 10, 15 years. Slavkovsky is coming around big time. Could be a big power forward.
He's almost got 50 points.
I know.
Sam, but Sam's giving that a thought.
You
can't expect more than that for a first overall pick.
He's 10. Give him a minute.
The thing that I ask you guys is in the next year or two, who's coming out of the playoffs in the East so Montreal can get their playoff spot next year or the year after or the year after that?
Yeah.
Now we're at 5 years.
Yeah.
So who's coming out? Who's trending downward?
Well, that's it's
Washington
good,
and Philly.
Oh, so you're saying for like a wild card spot?
Those would be the only team.
Like in the Atlantic,
but
here's
but,
the problem.
Here's the but.
Ottawa and Buffalo.
No, hold on.
Okay, no, we're not doing.
No. It's like okay, then Ottawa's not taking that spot. Buffalo's not taking that spot. Montreal is.
Well, I don't think. Listen, I don't think they're gonna make the playoffs for 100 years. So you're talking to the wrong guy. That's not the argument I'm making. They stink.
I look at where the Sens are at and where the Sabres are at, and I see more pieces for them to get better sooner, right? The Sabres missed playoffs by a point last year, had a down year this year.
Jersey's a Markstrom trade away from going back to the playoffs next year.
Yes, very much so. They had 113 points the year before. Before everything tanked. I mean, the key players on Tampa are still there. The key players in the Leafs will be here for years. The key players in Florida are going to be around.
Boston
might get worse.
Good goalie, good decor.
See, Boston, to me, it will be like the Rangers where they kind of say we're retooling, but they'll never bottom out. They'll just find a way to kind of revamp.
But after Pasta, there's not much, you know, for me to be like, ooh, look out. That's
listen, I look at the Rangers lineup, and I'm like, okay. And yet they're having the best season out of any team right
Panarin
now.
Panarin has like 100 and some points this year. He's been excellent for them. But yeah, I get your point that it's not like Fox is a legit number one guy.
Kendra Miller's getting better.
To Truba's all of this conversation is guy. That if you tear it down to the studs, it's really hard to build back up. I am against like the ridiculous teardowns. I like the idea of, you got to get worse for a little bit, but you can't trade every NHLer you have, and Chicago's done that, and San Jose, God, when's the Sharks going to be good? Like
never again.
Ever again? So Montreal has a long road back, but I don't think it's as long as the teams I was just talking about. But yeah, you're talking years till they're in playoffs. Two more, three more?
Game time.
Let her rip, Sammy.
It's game time presented by Bet365. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Some good games tonight. The first thing I'm going to is Edmonton is in Dallas to take on the Stars. Connor McDavid currently has 97 assists heading into this game. If you want to bet on Connor McDavid to get to 100 assists tonight, 3 plus assists for Connor McDavid. Guess what the number is?
It's probably like plus 150 or something.
Plus 550.
Is it? Yeah.
Which is like,
I know, it's still
for
absurd.
Any other player in the league, yeah, that would be, you know, it'd be plus.
I bet you he has 23 assist games this year.
So if you want to bet on that tonight, you can get him to get the three assists to get to 100. Only the fourth guy ever. And we talked about it yesterday. It was Wayne, Mario Lemieux, and Bobby Orr were the only guys to ever do it. So if you want to get on that, there you go.
We're not against Dallas. I might do that.
Well, okay. That's just it.
Doesn't matter who it's against. It's Connor McDavid, boys.
I don't know. They're one of the hottest teams right now.
Yeah, they're good. I mean,
they've
could still
won seven in a row.
They could still lose, and he could still get three assists. Like, it's Connor McDavid. So, anyways, I put that one out there.
Their goals against average.
Ooh,
Dallas is giving up. They shut out Seattle.
Okay, yeah.
Vancouver gets one against them.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona, they gave up two.
Okay,
Pittsburgh two.
Can I ask
Arizona
you?
Two, L.A. one.
Does Connor McDavid play for any of those teams?
Yeah. No, I get your point. Besides the one on top of your head right now.
Ottinger, if he comes around, Dallas is going to be different.
Yeah.
Dallas is going to be a tough
big matchup, Devils, Rangers. Are they going to fight tonight? Well, is Rempe playing anymore?
Oh.
Please, let us see it.
Yeah, I forgot about
it. Curtis McDavid, he was hurt when they last played
I
the
would
Leafs.
Put money on that one happening
That's
tonight.
That's happening tonight.
But the Devils are huge underdogs, as they should be, going into Madison Square Garden. They're plus 170. I wouldn't recommend betting that. But the Rangers are minus 205. I wish you could bet on a fight. And the last game I'll bring up is the one that's on nationally on Sportsnet, the Leafs and the Lightning. Minus 105 for the Lightning, minus 115 for the Leafs. Pretty even matchup here. They don't really have any idea.
I bet it very poorly, you told me. I took under 6.5 in regulation. So 3-3, 4-2. And Sammy tells me it's the highest goal total between two teams in the year.
Yeah.
Their games have been football games.
I think it's like the Leafs have 6.74 goals per game in theirs, and the Lightning have 6.72 goals per game in theirs.
Joel Wall's going to lock it down.
Yeah, so Joel Wall tonight against the Lightning. All right, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, where are we in the East wild card turtle race here?
Well, you can check sportsnet.ca for my article, in which I broke this down in thorough description, including looking at every team's situation.
Okay, without reading your article, and I will,
you
wrote today that it has, without a doubt, it's the Washington Capitals to lose.
I did say something like that. I did say that it's in their hands. I talked to a couple people who run statistical models. Push my glasses up my nose, and 90 points is the likely cutoff for playoffs in the East. 90, maybe 91, maybe 92, but likely 90 points. So the Capitals are already sitting there at, what are they, 82 points. You know, they've got eight games left. So they basically need to win four of the remaining eight games to make playoffs. Not a huge ask.
Oshie is out, but Tom Wilson comes back.
Mm-hmm. Tom Wilson, did we get quotes from him or no?
Yeah, I got it.
I'm very happy.
Tom Wilson made some comments about his slash on Gregor, about how it wasn't a big deal until the media made it one.
We gotta listen.
Okay, all right. Tom Wilson.
It's Tom Wilson on suspension.
But it's one of those things where it's tough. You know, after the game, no one's really talking about it. It was a complete accidental play, and coaches aren't talking about it. Media's not talking about it. Ref gave me a double minor, and then overnight with slow-mo and all that, next morning you wake up to a crazy amount of, you know, media. And you know what? It's one of those plays where it happens really quick. Obviously, I'm not trying to get him in the face there at all. He's a tough player. Tough part for me is, you know, he doesn't miss a shift, and I'm gone for six games. It's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow. And when that's the case, it felt like a long time.
Did we do that game? Was that our game? Were we on the set?
Yes.
We were.
Yeah.
Craig Simpson didn't comment really heavy on it. Chris Cuthbert didn't. I don't think we did.
I did.
I think the media. I know you did.
I want to at least talk. Suspend him.
I think I do remember.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was media driven social media, if you want to say the swell there, led by Sammy.
Well, okay, hold on, though. It's a stupid thing to say. Doesn't matter who did it, who drove the whatever. You watch the video, you smack the guy in the face with your stick being a doofus.
Yeah, it's like the axe murderers with a bloody axe being like, I didn't mean to do it.
Well, if these guys hadn't pointed out that I did it, no one would have even said anything. But you did it. You donkey. God.
I love Tom Wilson. It could have. This is not right.
I will say this, that it could have slid into accidentally on purpose category, which
the Truba
our league is
Frederick.
Famous for.
Yeah, the Truba on Frederick, for. Right? He was, whoops.
A ton of them have passed somehow, some way the smell test, and we've never really gone back on any of them. We just forget about it.
No, but this one was way more Sam Gagner.
It's way more because it's Tom Wilson.
Sure, and that's not an irrelevant point.
You could take away accidentally. It was on purpose. He looked at him and ripped it around and slashed him in the face. Yeah, like it was
I'm
an
so
on purpose play.
You can make that distinct conclusion on your couch eating a bag of Dorito chips.
He plays at North Toronto Arena, Kipper, doesn't mean he didn't mean to slash him in the face.
Well, okay? And also, it's
he
like...
He slashed him in the face. It was on purpose.
If the axe murderer has murdered six people, then accidentally murders one, we're going to be like, I think that might have been on purpose. Yeah. I'm picking up a pattern here with this gentleman.
Like I said...
Okay, I'm not winning this.
Like I said, love the guy. There was times where I would have traded lots of guys on the lease for him, but... This was on purpose.
Would you trade Neil Leonard for him?
There was many times where I would have considered it, yes. Maybe not now, but maybe. No, yeah, I wouldn't.
But maybe.
Is this the time in our program where we just give...
It's like, Torts time.
2.5 minutes to Torts?
Yeah. You know, here's the thing today. Everyone doesn't know how to feel or react to Torts because one day he's the... You know, stray dog loving guy, and the next day he's the meanie who's an emotional bully. And today this is being shared by all sorts of people whose opinion I value as, look at this clip. Look at John Tortorella, you know, the leadership here. People love this clip today, Kip.
Let's hear the clip.
This comes down to, right, it always comes down, they're going to quit on him. It follows me around. And so be it. If a player's going to quit on me or players are going to quit on me, because I'm trying to make them better people and better athletes, you got the wrong damn coach here, and you got the wrong damn people here. So I'm not sure what goes on. My job is I am going to push athletes, and I try to stay away from I have other things on my mind that I don't give you. I was in control the other night. What I said I meant, and quite honestly, when I watch the tape now, I'm more concerned than just the second period because of I'm so proud of the team getting here. And I guess now the narrative out there is, because I've heard from other people,
our
that
show.
They're young, they're not supposed to be here. Bullshit. We're here. We're here. Face it. And let's be better. And I don't think we're ready to be better. And that's my problem with us right now. And it is my job. I have not done a good enough job to get them over the hump after playing those seven games. And then each game as it goes down, we have six left. I haven't done a good enough job to make them understand we have to be different now. We have to be at a different level. That's my frustration with me. And that's my frustration with the team. And if people can't handle it, so be it.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
He might as well just be like, me.
People love this today.
He's been around for such a long time because it's not most often with this guy, it's not what he says. It's how he says it, when he says it, and what are the personal agendas around it. Like it's very complex.
Yeah.
And he's saying all the right things on so many occasions.
That time. Yep.
And right there, there's nothing I don't disagree with him.
I know. That's why everyone's sharing it out is this, like right? I said, this wonderful what do you call it, monologue or soliloquy.
But he also buys into, this is the only way I'm going to get them to the mm-hmm. place. And
he's like, that nail looks like it needs a hammer. So does that glass jar.
There could be other ways in the year 2024 where you don't have to browbeat your players.
Listen, I want to say, I like what he had to say there. I agree with the idea of pushing guys. I even like the idea of being honest about where they are, where he says we're not ready to be better, you know, and it's frustrating that I haven't got us to a place where I feel like we're ready to be better. That's all fine. But it comes in the context of all the previous things he said, which are sometimes about himself, sometimes it's too much. Today he gets the tone right, but he is still the guy, to Sam's point, that we're talking about every single day. And I just, like, did the Flyers not be better if they were just in their bunker of a dressing room, he was coaching them, and just, like, it wasn't a story every day, John Tortorella and the Flyers failing? He is shining the spotlight so bright on their failings, he's making it harder.
Wow, that is extremely well said.
Well, it's just, it's a lot for a young team.
He's been around for forever, right? Yeah. 20 years? I'm telling you, the one that I will scratch my head isn't Torts racing into Calgary's dressing room to beat up everybody.
I forgot about that okay? one.
That ain't it. Yeah. You know what it'll be? How do you, as a group, pick a captain and then a month later bail on him?
Yeah.
That one I'll never understand.
It's a dumb league.
Okay? I will never understand that.
So here's what I've talked to you about this, and I think you think he didn't make that choice.
I think he's got such a big voice there that I think ownership can look at Comcast, and it is right up there with Keith Jones and Daniel Briere.
Really?
Yes. I don't think he falls underneath them.
Hmm.
So I cannot believe that Sean Couturier wouldn't have some sort of blessing from him.
Yeah.
So why would you bail on him? And I'm okay with a captain being scratched, but I'm not okay about a captain being scratched when 4 weeks ago you're telling the hockey world that this is our leader now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not enough time for me for Torts to bail on Sean Couturier.
Mm-hmm.
Bench him, take away his ice time, bring him down to 12, 13 minutes. But
oh, yeah, he's been down there.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
That one bothered me a lot, and I think it's had a domino effect on everything else.
Listen to Couturier's ice times. January's 20 minutes, he's 20:35 the next month. Then in March, he's 15:45. This month, he's 13:12. Last game, he played 3:21. I don't know if he got hurt, but the games prior, 11:10, 11:10.
That's your leader?
Yeah.
Like, who picked this guy?
And if it's Torts, that's not great, right? That's a pretty big flip from a pretty important decision to declare a guy your captain. So
yeah, you've neutered him in the room.
They only have 6 games left, the Flyers. They're at 83 points. They're at 47%. To 52%, depending what site you use, chance of making the playoffs now.
Just to bookend our show with some Blue Jays stuff.
Yes.
Lineup tonight, out for tonight in Houston. Davis Schneider not in the lineup tonight.
Not in the lineup?
Not in the lineup.
He heard himself celebrating?
No, he's just not playing.
Healthy scratch.
Yeah, this is just a...
Mustache is on IR.
This is a very touchy subject among Blue Jays fans, but he doesn't play all the time.
Why?
Does he...
Doesn't like... The khakis don't like him against righties.
Did he say that he doesn't like high fastballs?
Yeah, he did say that. But the thing is...
Maybe he loves it.
John Schneider, whoever pumped out the computer, they typed it into a lineup and it went bzzz and it printed it out, and David Schneider didn't make the cut. So.
That's tough.
I think it's a go-ahead bomb. Season-saving homer, according to Kipper.
Our thanks. Yeah, season-saving.
Yeah.
Our thanks to Hall of Famer Dave Andrechuk in the first hour of our show, and then PJ Stock. Get it out of the park.
Yes.
Love it.
Saved our season.
Have a great night, everybody. Enjoy your games. Give us a rating and review if you get a chance. We'd love to hear from you. Enjoy your games, and we're back tomorrow, but not Friday.
No Friday.
darn Blue Jays. Okay. Have a good one, everybody.